So somebody came up to Jesus. He was a teacher of the law. Now, when he's a teacher of the law, what that means is he had studied Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, his entire life. He knew all the laws. He had them memorized. In Hebrew, they call them mitzvot. Everybody say it. Wow. Hi, people in Florida listening online. There are people in the room. I'm not all here by myself. They did say mitzvot, I promise. You got to talk loud so that they can hear you. The mitzvot, they'd wear these scarves, by the way. Tzitzit, I told you about these last week. Do you know how many tassels were on a tzitzit? Lots. How many? 613. Does that excite anybody else? No, 613 tassels, one for every command in all of the Old Testament. There are 613 things that you should or shouldn't do in the Old Testament. And this guy was a master teacher. He knew all of them. 365 of those, by the way, are negative commandments. Thou shalt not. Does 365 remind you of anything else? There you go. You guys are on it. You're waking up. 365 days in the year. And some of you are math people and you go, okay, well, if you take 613 and you subtract 375, if you subtract 375, then you're at January 10th. And you come up with, you subtract 365, you come up with 248. In the ancient world, they believed that there were 248 bones and body systems. So like they'd count the stomach, the small intestine, the large intestine is one system, gastro. It's almost as if when wearing this robe, when they're wearing this scarf, the 613 commands were meant to be followed 365 all the time, not just some of the time, but 365 days a year, and not just with some of you, right? You have some things that you can do with just some of your body, with just some of your heart, with just some of your strength, but 248, all the bones and muscle systems that these 613 commands were meant to be followed all the time with all you've got. Which raises a problem. Sometimes you've just got to break a commandment. Are you with me? See, some of you smiled a little bit big. You're like, oh yeah, sometimes you just got to break a command. No, sometimes, like, you literally have to. There's this command, and it's one of the big 10. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. On it you shall do no labor, neither you nor your male servant nor your maid servant nor your ox nor your donkey. Don't work on the Sabbath. It's a command. There's also a should command, a positive command. If you're walking along and you see that your neighbor's donkey has fallen into a hole, and it's going to die in that hole, it's your job to help the neighbor's donkey out of that hole. It's not one of the big 10, so most of us don't know it, but it's one of the commandments that they had. It's one of 613. And so you're walking along on the Sabbath and you see your neighbor's donkey in a hole and you've got a moral dilemma, don't you? Do I keep this command? Help my neighbor's donkey out of the hole? Or do I keep this command? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is, by the way, where you get the phrase, if you're do and if you're don't, right? It's a theological phrase because what we know is that when you break mitzvot, when you sin, what you've earned is separation from God, aka hell. What they used to call that is being damned to hell. See, there's some situations where if you have to follow all 613, you're fried. So they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, And they asked all kinds of rabbis this. They said, Jesus, what's the greatest of all the commandments? By the way, any married people out there? Great question to ask your spouse. Like, I'm starting to have this one. Any engaged people? Okay, ask your soon-to-be married person, what is the greatest of all these commandments? Huge question if you know going in that's better. Married people, are you with me? You know, put the dishes in the dishwasher the right way. If that's the greatest of all the commandments, know it going in. It'll save you all kinds of headache. So they go up to Jesus, and they ask Jesus, he says, Jesus, what's the greatest of all commandments? And Jesus says, Shema Israel. You heard this last week, right? Say it with me. Say, Shema Israel. See, whenever I teach this, I'll say Shema Israel. I'll never say Hear, O Israel, not because I want to impress you, but to remember that Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament. Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy. That's where the Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad comes from. But Jesus says, Shema Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Everybody go ahead and stand up. Seriously, we got to get you standing up. If you want to memorize something, science has proven us, if you put emotion with something, not only emotion, but emotion with it, you'll remember it. So everybody say, Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God. The Lord is one. Put the fingers away. Oh, come on. I played softball with some of you. And after we won, by the way, promise one. Not this year, a couple years ago. And afterwards, several of us went out to celebrate. And we said, we're number one. And nobody said it the way you guys just said it. After they ordered their soda. No, they said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You guys are going to make me work for a living today. Fortunately, I work 22 minutes a week twice. So I got it. Say, Hear, O Israel! The Lord our God! The Lord is one! Love! Okay, it's so hard to be like tough in war cry making a little heart. Unless you're Justin Bieber. Love the Lord your God! With all your heart. Remember, the heart is the will. It's not the physical object, it's the will, it's the choices we made. It's not the seat of emotion. The seat of emotion is the soul. So say, and your soul.
And your soul.
Go ahead and point to it. I know you can all do the one leg. With all your heart. And all your soul.
And all your strength.
Okay, just stop. Look at the person next to you. Go ahead. Do the flex. Do the flex. Look at him and go, you look good. Obviously, lying isn't one of the top commandments. But don't you feel that? With all your strength and with all your mind.
With all your mind.
Ah, go ahead and have a seat. See, that's what Jesus said. He said the first commandment is this: love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Which one's your favorite? Your heart, your will. See, if you don't know, a denomination, it comes from denaming something. Historically, what's happened is the church has started going in one direction, and we go, whoa, 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 you're going too far that direction, so we're going to dename that part. We're going to take part of that away and focus elsewhere. What I've noticed in denominations is you have different ones that focus on different parts, right? We're a Lutheran church here. That's our denomination. That's our brand. That's our history. heart, soul, strength, mind. What do we focus on as Lutherans? I'll give you a hint. If you were raised in the Lutheran church and you can know this part, it should give it away. You should fear and love God. That doesn't bring... Okay, how many of you are raised in the Lutheran tradition? Okay. How about this one? This is most certainly true. Okay, we got a couple. Does anybody remember that, the way I did it growing up? You had the small catechism, and you learned to memorize it. You learned to memorize it so well that you could regurgitate it on demand. I remember sitting up right before my confirmation Sunday, and they had us all lined up, and they would ask us, and they would say, Griner, see, I learned it really quickly. It was Bell, Griner, Graff. First commandment, second commandment, third commandment. We should fear and love God, blah, 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 blah. This is most certainly true. We put an emphasis on the mind, on learning. That's our Lutheran tradition. Please don't mishear me. I am not saying that that is bad. I think learning and education is a great good thing. Jesus said it. He said, how do you love God? With all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Mind is an important part. What I'm saying is other denominations, they choose to embrace other parts. Right? Anybody ever hang out with our Pentecostal brothers and sisters? There we go. What part do they emphasize? Soul. Can I get a witness? They don't have to record the message and play it back for our friends that are at the satellite church in Florida. They can hear them. Right? Anybody seen Blues Brothers? When they walk into the church, what kind of music are they singing? Soul. It's about emotion. It's about feeling. See, they emphasize love God with your soul, like we emphasize love God with our mind. How about our Baptist brothers and sisters? What do they emphasize? Huh? Obedience. What they actually, and I'm going to put just a nuance on that. You're totally right. They emphasize heart. Remember, in the ancient world, heart is the seed of the will. It's the choice that you make. Anybody ever been to a Baptist church? Oh, don't raise your hand. I have to excommunicate you. That was a joke. No, how do they end each service? Each sermon. Hey, if you guys, right now, if you want to make a choice to live for Jesus, if you want to make a choice and ask Jesus into your heart, if you want to make a choice, come on up front and we'll have people to pray for you. What they're doing is they're emphasizing the heart part above and beyond those things. I'm not saying that one is more right or wrong than the other. I'm saying we all need to emphasize it. I was at the gym. I loved it. There were two guys at the gym that were significantly bigger than me this week. One of them was like across the board big, just built, jacked. But he was wearing a shirt and it said, "Never skip leg day." It was amazing. Never skip. Anybody, since people laughed, you get the joke. Anybody like leg day? No, leg day is horrible. Nobody goes around and, like, you walk into a place and you flex your legs. Nobody's like, man. You know, I wear pants most of the time. I want to skip leg day. And then there was another guy. And man, he was jacked too. His pecs were just like ripping through his shirt. His arms had that like venous look because he was just that cut. I mean, he could bench twice as much as he could squat. This guy had little teeny chicken legs. From here up, jacked. From here down, jacked in a whole nother way. And it was great because I just watched the two interact. I guess they're friends. The one with the shirt that said never skip leg day would just walk by, look at him, and point. But you get the point, right? You can look great on top, but not be physically fit because you skip part of it. How many churches, if we're honest, in our denominational tradition, we skip leg day? We go, I'm going to care about the intellect and not so much about emotion, not so much about will, and not so much about soul. Sorry, I said soul twice. Soul is emotion. I'm going, what's it look like to round it out? See, the image that you're seeing in this sermon series is a line. And what Jesus says is he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Make a choice to do it. And by the way, that's not a choice, make it one and done. That's a make a choice to do it every single day. Make a choice to follow and respond to the love that God's given to you every single day, because it's really easy to choose not to. The choice is that harness. And then harness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your emotion. Harness your emotion to where you're headed. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week, because that's a wild dog that wants to chase all the rabbits. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, actually make your body line up with where your will's going. And with all your mind, actually think through this stuff. Realize that you've been given a brain for a reason. But sometimes we don't use our brain for the right reason. If you have your Bibles, flip them over to James. In James, and go ahead and open them up. Look it up on the phone, because I'm going to have you participate. We're in James chapter 1. James is Jesus' brother, half-brother. Joseph is his dad, rather than the father. Mary is his mom, same mom as Jesus. I guess that makes them stepbrothers. James didn't follow Jesus until after Jesus had died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And then James becomes a follower. And this is what James writes in this letter. First, he introduced himself. And then in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, regard it all as pure joy. That's a soul word. That's an emotion word. Consider it all pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face various kinds of temptation. Catch the will part? Catch getting your emotions in line with your will? I mean, how many of you, that's your natural reaction? When you face a temptation, when you face a struggle, when you face a hardship, consider it joy. Woohoo! There's words for people like you. Masochist. But no, he says, consider it pure joy for you. Let's try it again. Regard it as pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face various kinds of temptations for you. No. That's a mind word. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know that, don't you? When Muhammad Ali passed, was so intrigued. I read an article with him, and they asked him, they said, how many push-ups do you do? And Muhammad Ali goes, I probably only count 10 or 12. You ever seen Muhammad Ali? Does he look like he does 10 or 12 push-ups? No, the reporter was intrigued as you are, and he goes, what do you mean you only do 10 or 12? He goes, well, I only start counting when it hurts. I don't start counting until it hurts. Once it hurts, once I want to quit, once I'm broken, that's when I start counting. And from there, I can get 10 and 12. Man, when your faith is tested, when you're on your breaking point. Consider it joy. Get your emotions to line up with where you're going. Because when your faith is tested, it produces perseverance. So that you may be complete in your work, lacking nothing. Verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask the Lord who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to you. But trust and don't doubt, for the doubter will be tossed on the waves like the sea and blown around by the wind. Indeed, that person should not think that he receives anything from the Lord. Don't be double-minded. Part of the problem in the church is we're double-minded. Actually, part of the problem in the Lutheran church, if I can be honest, is we're too strong-minded. We've got such a strong mind. But if you have your Bibles, flip to 1 Corinthians. I got to wrap this up quick, but I want to wrap it up with this challenge, so I'm going to summarize just a little bit. What's going on at the time? We're in 1 Corinthians 8, and you can read this yourself, and I encourage you to do that this week. But what's going on is what they've realized is we have Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. There is one God, period. And so that makes all these other things not gods. The wind, it's not a god. When you sacrifice an offering to the wind, it can't receive your offering. When you sacrifice an offering to the rain, it doesn't receive your offering. When you sacrifice an offering to, it doesn't receive it because it's not real. And so there was this question about the meat sacrificed to idols, to false gods. And the Christians started saying, hold on, if those aren't gods at all, can we just eat that meat? I mean, if I'm walking along and I see that meat, can I just eat it? Because I have this knowledge, I have this understanding, and this is what's amazing. They had studied scripture so much that they knew it. But this is the response in Corinthians. He says, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that you say, we all have knowledge. Yes, that is so, but knowledge puffs up. It puffs a person up with pride, whereas love builds up. See, the answer to the meat question is, I get it, that you know you can eat the meat, but if you eating the meat causes a brother to sin, right, you've been there. You've got things they shouldn't cause you to stumble. You know you've been forgiven from them. You know you're freed from them. But just that smell, just that word, just that image brings you back to a place in your life where it brings back all kinds of junk, all kinds of hurt, all kinds of pain. Just that look of brokenness in her eye brings you back to a place where you don't want to go. Now your brain goes, but I've surpassed that. I've climbed beyond that. We've mentally ascended. And in 1 Corinthians, he says, yeah, you know that. But just working from the knowledge point, that puffs up. See, what love does is love enters the muck and the mire, and love builds up. Love says, I'm not going to go there even though I know I could, because my will is focused over here. Great test for this. How do you know if you're loving God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind? How do you know if you're loving God with all your mind? Ask a simple question. What do I do with this? I know a lot of you are studying scripture and you're jumping into scripture daily and you're reading the Moravian texts or whichever ones you are. Some of you I know, like me, you do it on your drive time. You listen to it. Can I ask for 30 seconds more? At the end of reading scripture, just ask a simple question. Because if you just read it, you can puff up. Just go, God, how do I live this out today? How do I put wheels on this and take that plane off the runway? Great, I know something new. But how do I live this out as a parent, as a spouse, as a coworker, as a friend? Take that 30 seconds, ask that question, and then step into it and see what happens. Let's continue our worship.
Walking home.